Okay, guys, if you have your Bible today, turn with me over to the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 6. We read that verse earlier when we lit the candle of peace, but we're going to read it again together. So Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. You can also put your finger or put your little marker or something on Matthew chapter 10 as well. We're going to be reading some scripture from there as well. So Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, and then also Matthew chapter 10. Okay? A lot of you probably like to read Peanuts, and of course one of my favorite Christmas specials is the Charlie Brown Christmas. You know, I think that's one of all of our favorites. But I heard in one of the comics one time, I read this, or I found it, in one of the Peanuts cartoons, Lucy says to Charlie Brown, "I hate everything. I hate everybody, and I hate the whole wide world." You ever feel like that? And Charlie Brown says, "But I thought you had inner peace." And Lucy replies, "I do have inner peace, but I still have outer obnoxiousness." And you know what? We can be just like that sometimes, can't we? We can be just like Lucy. And guys, I want to focus on the word peace this morning. After all, we just lit the candle of peace just a little while ago in our Advent wreath. And if you were to look up the word peace in the dictionary, here's what you would find as the definition. Freedom from disturbance, quiet and tranquility, a state or period in which there is no war. And I think that's a good definition of peace. But, you know, we all know in a spiritual theme, in a spiritual sense, peace has a far greater meaning than just not having war or being tranquil or something like that. So let's read Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 again. And then I want to talk this morning in our time together about peace as God defines it. So let's read it and then we'll get into it. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." So what does that term mean? That's number one in our outline, if you want to take down some notes today. Number one, the question is what does the Prince of Peace mean? We hear that word a lot, especially at Christmas time. Okay, so what does that mean? And thinking about our circumstances today, a world filled with a pandemic and hatred and violence, it's difficult to sometimes envision or to see how Jesus fits the role as Prince of Peace. But we need to understand something here. Peace from these things is not necessarily or doesn't necessarily reflect the kind of peace that Jesus is talking about or that is referred to about Jesus, if you will. Because in the context of our scripture this morning, the word prince is used, the Prince of Peace. Now, in this time, in the Old Testament time, a prince would have been understood by Isaiah's readers as a leader among a group of people. A prince is a leader, okay? And you may or may not know, the Hebrew word for peace is shalom. You sometimes hear Jewish people using that term with one another. It's often used in the Old Testament to refer to a time of rest or peace between two nations, if you will. And the Greek equivalent to that word peace is the Greek word Irene. It was used to describe quietness or rest. And as we look at the Bible, as we look at the context of Scripture, peace is often talked about as one of the goals among believers. And in fact, Jesus talked about it in the Beatitudes. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9 says, "The peacemakers are blessed, for they will be called sons of God." And so we know that peace is a goal between us as believers. But the deeper, more foundational meaning of peace is spiritual harmony with God. The peace that's between us and God. The harmony brought about by an individual's relationship with God. And we understand that comes through Jesus Christ. And so we understand in our sinfulness, We're enemies with God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 10, that for while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, then how much more, having been reconciled, will we be saved by His life. We understand that because of Christ's sacrifice, we are restored into a relationship or peace between us and God. And so it's a peace that we desperately need. It's the kind of peace we need because of our sinfulness and also because God does call us to be at peace with other believers. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3 says, "Therefore, I, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk worthy of the calling you have received, with patience, accepting one another in love, diligently keeping the unity of the Spirit with the peace that binds us." And so we are called to have peace between us and God. That's through Jesus Christ. We're also called to be at peace with other believers, to be in unified together. But I want you to understand something here. And sometimes we fail to kind of grasp this. Peaceful doesn't always mean easy. It doesn't mean it's going to be a bed of roses or it's going to be easier walking down an easy road. Jesus never promised easy for us. He never promised that things were going to work out perfectly, because we understand we live in a sinful world where there's brokenness and there's the consequences of sin. So Jesus never promised easy. In fact, He told us to expect difficulty. John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus says, "I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. You will have suffering in this world. Be courageous. I have conquered the world." And so, yes, He never promised easy, but He promised to help us in our time of need. He said if we were to call upon Him, He would give us the peace of God which surpasses all of understanding, all of comprehension. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, "Don't worry about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And notice this, "And the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." And so no matter what hardships we are faced with, whether it be financial or physical or other things, no matter what difficulty, no matter what hardships we're faced with, we can ask for peace that comes from the powerful love of God. And the good news is that it's not dependent on our own strength or the circumstances around us. It's dependent upon the power that God has. And He gives that to us. And so when we think about Jesus being the Prince of Peace, it's not just a peace from bad things happening. It's not just a peace between two nations that are at war with one another. It's a whole different thing. It means a peace between us and God. It means a peace in the midst of difficulty that we can have, and a peace that we have with other believers. So that's what is meant by that term, the Prince of Peace. So that's kind of a background there, but there's another question I want to answer. Why is Jesus the Prince of Peace? Why was He referred to as the Prince of Peace? Well, we understand because He gives us peace with God. We've already talked about that. John 3:16, the greatest verse probably known to man, the most recognized verse in the world, John 3:16, "For God loved the world in this way. He gave His one and only Son so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life." And we understand that through the birth of Christ, the entire gospel really comes into focus in that one verse. So if you don't have a long amount of time to talk with somebody about the gospel, maybe you've got just a minute or two, just share John 3:16, because that's the gospel in a nutshell. And God can use that to speak in the hearts of people's lives, because the entire gospel comes into focus in that one verse. And the light of Christmas, we're in the Christmas season, okay, the light of Christmas was sent by God to the world. God's love is not just to certain individuals. God's love is not just to you, but you miss out. And it's for you, but you miss out. The gospel, Jesus Christ, was sent for all of creation, all human beings. When the Bible says the world, that means everyone. Everyone has an opportunity to know the love of Jesus Christ, or know the love of God through his son, Jesus Christ. So God's love didn't just come through to certain individuals. It's offered to the world. And we see this in God's pattern of love. When you love someone, when you really love someone, you're willing to sacrifice for them. A lot of you understand that with children. You're willing to give up what you want in life for the sake of other people that you love. One of the greatest joys that we see as parents is to watch our children open gifts on Christmas morning. And much more joy comes to us as parents and grandparents when we see our children or grandchildren opening gifts than it would be for us to get a gift. It's just funny how that changes. When you're a kid, yeah, I want to get presents. But when you're an adult, your mindset changes. You find joy in sacrificing on behalf of other people. And we understand that when we've been blessed, other people had to sacrifice. When I was a kid, I didn't understand that. Now that I'm an adult, I understand it a little bit better. But it's great joy when we sacrifice. When we love someone, you're willing to sacrifice everything for those people. And sacrificial love expresses itself without any assurances that love's going to be returned. And that's exactly what Jesus has done for us. A lot of you may remember this story about 5 years ago, December 2nd, 2015. Out in San Bernardino, there were 14 people that were killed and 22 others were seriously injured in a terrorist attack that was a mass shooting. It was an attempted bombing and shooting at a workplace in San Bernardino, California. The perpetrators were a married couple living in that near that city, and they targeted this place, this Department of Public Health and Training event, because there was a Christmas party going on. About 80 people were attending, 80 employees, in a rented banquet hall. And as they began this reign of terror and people were being shot and injured, in the midst of the terror, the police were called and there was a policeman that showed up who began to reassure people that he was there to help them evacuate from the building. And as he led them to safety, he was caught on camera, saying to the people that he was trying to lead out of that place, "Try to relax, everyone. Try to relax. I will take the bullet before you do, that's for sure. Just be cool." He was willing to say, "I'm going to give my life for you because that's my job. My job is here to protect you. And I'm going to take the bullet for you." He was willing to take the bullet for people that he didn't even know. He had no way of knowing these people. But he was willing to pay the ultimate price. And we understand that God paid the ultimate price for his creation and their sin. That's you and me. It was the precious life of the most precious life of his son, Jesus Christ. It's the most precious life that has ever walked the face of this earth. And there would be peace between God and man. That's why the angel said to the shepherds in Luke chapter 10, "Don't be afraid." Or Luke chapter 2, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today a Savior who is Messiah the Lord was born for you in the city of David." That's good news. And we've been given good news through the birth of Jesus Christ. So that's one reason he's referred to as the Prince of Peace. The second thing we have to understand, sometimes we don't think about this, because we only think about the birth of Jesus. We only think about when Jesus lived on the earth and he did miracles and he fed people and he healed people. And then he died and he's up in heaven. We don't think about what that means for us in the future. We kind of just think about the here and now. But the fact that Jesus is the Prince of Peace means that he will bring peace in the future. So we have peace to look forward to in the future. As difficult as things are today, as chaotic as things are today, as much as our world is filled with hatred today, one day there will be a day when everything will be at total peace. Even though our world is filled with turmoil and chaos, one day the Bible teaches that a new heaven and new earth will be created. Revelation chapters 21 and 22 give us a detailed picture of the new heaven and the new earth that one day will be established. And so the Bible says that when the new heaven and the earth, new earth are created, the Bible says that peace will be ushered in. In fact, Revelation 21, 27 says, nothing profane will ever enter it. No one who does what is vile or false, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 6 through 9. Says the wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf, the young lion, and the fatling will be together. And a child will lead them. The cow and the bear will graze, their young ones will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like an ox. An infant will play beside a cobra's pit, and a toddler will put his hand into a snake's den. None will harm or destroy another on my entire holy mountain, for the land will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the sea is filled with water. And guys, all this happens because Jesus. One day, there will be peace. Jesus will bring peace in the future. And that's what we have to look forward to. So as chaotic as things are today, as difficult as things are today, this is only for a short time. Because one day there will truly be peace, and it because of Jesus Christ being the Prince of Peace. But one thing else I want to talk about today, turn over to Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 through 39. What about this scripture? Because this seems to contradict what we've been talking about all morning, about Jesus being the Prince of Peace and ushering in peace in the future. Look at what he says here. This is the words of Jesus here in Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 through 39. Therefore, everyone who will acknowledge me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father in heaven. Don't assume that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be members of his household. The person who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. The person who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Anyone finding his life will lose it, and anyone losing his life because of me will find it. Now that just seems to totally contradict everything we've already been talking about. You know, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He's came to bring peace between us and God. You know, there needs to be peace between us and our fellow believers, brothers and sisters. And Jesus say, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword, division, hatred. And if you read it like that, you could come to that conclusion. And it seems to contradict Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. But as we've already discussed, the peace that Jesus brings is between us and God. And we understand that ultimately there are going to be people that reject God. There are going to be people that reject Jesus Christ. And those people will remain separate from God. And in a sense, there won't be any peace between them and God because they rejected his son, Jesus Christ. But what is Jesus talking about here in Matthew 10? He's talking about the conflict that sometimes arises between those who know Christ and those who don't. And perhaps all of us has come into a situation like this before. Whenever somebody knows Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and a family member or a friend doesn't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, often we see two different value systems at odds with one another, don't we? And these value systems butt heads. There's conflict. And so it becomes two value systems. And Jesus is saying that as a result of his visit to earth, some children will be set against parents, and a man's enemies might be even people within his own household. This is because those who choose to follow Christ are sometimes hated by their own family members. Because they don't quite understand what got into you. Why did you change? You're somebody different now. This is how I used to do this and this with you, and you don't do those things anymore. Your time is different. The way you spend your money different. Your priorities are different. The things that you love are different. People get aggravated about that because they want the old you. And so there's conflict. says, many who choose to follow Christ are hated by their friends and family. This may be in part the cost of discipleship. For the love of family, Jesus says, should not be greater than the love for the Lord. And that's what he's talking about. He's not saying you need to hate your mom and dad. Okay? He's saying your love for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, your love for God comes even before your own family. You know, those that say Jesus said to hate your father and mother, go back to when Jesus was on the cross. Remember, in John, the book of John talks about that. Jesus is literally on the cross and his mother is standing there watching her son die on the cross. And he understands that his mother is about to be without a son. And so he says to his mother, essentially, from now on, Mom, when I die, John's going to be your son. And John, this is going to be your mother. He was making provision for his mother. So don't tell me that Jesus said, hate your mother. Jesus loved his mother. He made provision for her when he died on the cross. But what he's saying is that our love for God comes before family. Our love for God comes before anything. And that's part of being a disciple. Jesus said a true disciple has to take up his cross and follow Jesus. He must be willing to face not only family hatred, but also death, like a criminal carrying his cross to his own execution, if you will. And so true followers of Christ have to be willing to give up even to the point of hating. That is what a part of our own lives already, even our own families, if we're to be worthy of him. He said, if you're not willing to put me first, then you're not worthy. And so in doing so, we find our lives in return for having given them up to Jesus Christ. Remember in another place, Jesus said, what? It would be so terrible that if you gained the whole world, yet lost or forfeited your very soul. Because the things of this earth are temporary. Even families are temporary. But the kingdom of God is forever. And so, this verse doesn't contradict Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. It kind of brings it to a better light of understanding who Jesus is and the peace that we receive through him between us and God. And so, hopefully that gives you a little bit better understanding of that scripture. Because people have asked that before me. They've asked me that. Well, what about that verse that Jesus said, well, you got to hate your mom and dad and all that stuff. Well, I just wanted to share that with you because that helps us to understand it a little bit better. Several years ago, there was a news story run on Channel 3 News in Philadelphia, and they ran a report of an unusual Christmas disturbance. There was a local resident by the name of Alan McCutcheon. He was putting up his Christmas lights on his home when suddenly his ex-girlfriend, whose name was Mary Jo Smith, if you even care about that, she came barreling through his yard in her car. And she was doing donuts and causing a ruckus there. And she made several passes through his yard screaming, Merry Christmas! While she had Christmas carols blaring out of her radio because her windows were down. At one point, she even took aim at to run over McCutcheon, but thankfully she missed. And in that story, there was a state policeman, Stephanie Lucas, with the Pennsylvania State Police, was giving her side of the story. She said she proceeded to do a pretty significant amount of damage to the outside of the residence. The Christmas decorations were damaged, the vehicle was damaged, property was damaged, the home itself was damaged. And the policeman went on to say this, so much for peace on earth and goodwill toward men. That's so true. But guys, when we consider the crazy stuff that happens in our lives, and there's a lot of craziness going on. I mean, let's just face it, COVID stinks and we're all really tired of it. It ruins everything, and we're just really, really tired of it. But in midst of all the chaos that is going on, the craziness in our lives that happens each and every day, in and out of the holiday season, we understand why the heavenly host of angels didn't announce peace on earth to everyone, but rather peace on earth to those whom God's favor rests. Because peace, we understand, is not found in exacting revenge. Peace is found rather in a person, Jesus Christ. Peace is found in a relationship with Him. And when we recognize that our sin separates us from Him, from God and each other, really, when we recognize that we are incapable of pleasing a perfectly holy God with our half-hearted efforts, and when we recognize that God knew this and sent His Son to bear the death penalty for our sin anyway, so that we could be free and forgiven, then and only then can we find that true peace, the peace that comes from Jesus. It's a gift that we should receive, and then we should share it with others. Hopefully this girlfriend took time to ponder the words of some of the Christmas music that was blaring out of her car stereo as she was spinning wheels and tearing up Mr. McCutcheon's yard. And I pray that we'll ponder the sacrifice that Jesus made on our behalf to make peace between us and God. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And I pray that we'll know that peace in this difficult time. That's why Jesus brings a peace that surpasses any understanding. We shouldn't be at peace. We should be in a chaotic mess right now. But because of Jesus living inside of us, because of His Holy Spirit living inside of us, we can have peace in the midst of uncertainty. So I pray that you will know the true Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank You today for this, the message of Jesus being the Prince of Peace. Father, I pray that we can have peace in the midst of storms and difficulty and chaos. Father, I wonder how many people make it today without knowing You. Because I know in my life, you bring a calm and a peace that cannot be understood or explained. Father, I'm thankful that the peace of God lives in me, Jesus Christ. Father, that same peace that I have, Lord, I pray that You would burden me to share it with others who need to hear. Father, there's so many people today living in brokenness, not knowing the peace of Jesus. They might know of Jesus. They might know the Christmas story, but they don't really have a relationship. And I pray, Father, that You would help us, empower us, strengthen us, burden us. Father, break our hearts to share this good news with others who need to hear. Father, this Christmas season gives us a wonderful opportunity to do that. And I pray that we would take advantage of it. Lord, be glorified in our lives right now as we commit ourselves to You. And we ask all this in the powerful and wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Well, Andrew's going to lead us in a song of commitment today, and perhaps the Lord has spoken to your heart about a decision that you need to make personally. And you can just right there, where you are in your seat, as we sing this song, you can make that decision for Christ today. If you need to talk with me sometime this week, you can get in touch with me and we'll talk and work things out. But beyond that, today, let God do business in your heart. Commit your heart to Him. Commit your life to Him. Let Him be the Lord and Savior of your life. Let's stand together as Andrew leads us in this song of commitment. You make your decision for Christ today.
And we'll sing, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel.